This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PlayStation Wrestling Network, we're on to the biggest party of the summer, SummerSlam, here on Making Mount Rushmore. That's our theme tonight for both halves. Hey, I'm Andy Atherton. I'm your moderator tonight. Tonight, I got a couple of guys, got a smaller panel, but I think these guys are going to really bring it. We're talking about SummerSlam. As I said, first, we're going to go through the Mount Rushmores of SummerSlam matches, and then we'll do the Mount Rushmores of SummerSlam events, similar to how we did NXT TakeOvers recently on a recent episode. And, yeah, that's how it's going to go down, and we have some great discussions coming. First off, let me get in Steve Riddle. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
As the great Vince McMahon once said, it's summertime, and the living is truly anything but easy. I'm doing good, Andy. How are you?
Great. Thank you for coming back on the wrestling edition of Mount Rushmore. All right. And also joining him as our other panelist tonight, Ben Locke. Ben, welcome back to the show.
I haven't got some great quote or singing ability, Andy, so I'll just say, yes, I'm going to bring some nice barbecue items ready for the biggest party of the summer. Let's get to it.
All right. Very good. Yes, we are talking about SummerSlam, as I've said several times. I have enough for repeating myself, but, you know, it's the biggest party of the summer. So mentioning that, right? So we're going to talk about matches first, and then we'll move on to the events in the second half of the show. Steve, why don't you start us off with your first entrant in your Mount Rushmore of SummerSlam matches?
All right. Well, the first one I'm going to talk about is one that actually added kind of, you know, at the last minute. When I sent you my original list, Andy, I didn't have this one on here, but then I thought about it, I was like, I'm probably going to get reamed if I don't mention it. So I figured I might as well have it. And it's probably the most recent match I have on here. That is from 2016, John Cena versus AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. Obviously when AJ came in and, you know, back at the Rumble, everyone was really excited about the type of matches he would have. And then of course, when Cena had come back from his little, I think he had been injured and he had came back. The first feud he went into was with AJ, and of course it was such a huge deal to see the guy who was the face of WWE in the 2000s take on the guy who was the face of TNA in the 2000s and see him come together. And they had, you know, they had a match at Money in the Bank, which was pretty good, that AJ won. Of course, Gallows and Anderson had gotten involved in that, and then Cena got his win back the next month. I think it was him, Enzo, and Cass against Styles, Gallows, and Anderson in the six man. So they have the rubber match here, and they go all out for 23 minutes in the middle of the show, put on a tremendous match, and AJ wins clean to end the feud. And of course, this was really when Cena kind of was beginning the transition from a full-time wrestler to a part-time guy that he is now. And just absolutely, you know, phenomenal, no pun intended, stuff there. And I think when you talk about the more recent years, this match definitely belongs up there as one of the greatest matches in SummerSlam history.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. Ben, it was one of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, it was one of my last cuts, Andy, and the only reason I did cut it is because they somehow would one-up themselves a few months later at the Royal Rumble. But I agree with everything Steve says. This match is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, you think AJ's only been around for about 8 months at this point, and he's already got this victory over Cena. Even with Cena transitioning into the movie star part-time role he's in now, it was still such a big, big deal. And it's scary to think it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah. I can't believe that already. Yeah, it was a tremendous match. I will agree with that. Ben, why don't you give us an entry on your list?
So I'm going to go with the first match I put down, Andy. I get the feeling we'll be talking about something else from this particular show. I think is going to get a lot of mention tonight, so you know, we'll get ready for that. But the match I have picked is The Best versus The Beast, CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar from SummerSlam of 2013. Like I say, there is another match on the card that might be coming up later on. but this is my personal favorite. The crowd are so heavily invested in this match. It's unreal. Of all the Michael Cole phrases that he comes up with, vintage and big fight feel are my least favorite. That, you know, like, you know, those are the ones where you properly want to hit him over the head with the chair about 8 million times. But this is a genuine match with a big fight feel because they've never faced each other before and they've never faced each other since. And watch that match again. I enthuse all our listeners to go and watch that match again. That the submission sequence when they're putting Kimuras and chokeholds on each other, it's just beautiful. And the only reason Punk loses is because of his hatred of Heyman just takes over. That's the only reason he loses. But it's Punk's best WWE match. It's Brock's best WWE match, and it's just spectacular.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve, it made your list as well.
Yeah, for all the reasons Ben said, this was, you know, really a fantastic match. And, you know, back when, before, you know, Brock became, you know, just known for doing suplexes and the F5, you know, when he was still putting on, like, you know, regular matches, and he and Punk just went out they pretty much went out to steal the show because they know a lot of the focus was going to be on what the main event was. And they wanted to prove a point that they, you know, I'm sure, especially Punk, because that's just, you know, how he is. And I think Brock wanted to, you know, prove that what happened earlier in the year was not a fluke with the two Triple H matches with how, you know, kind of they were, that he could still bring it, you know, that, like he did against Cena the year before. And yeah, they just went out and destroyed each other. Just such a fun match.
All right, very good. All right, Steve, give us another entrance on your list.
All right, well, Ben kind of teed it up earlier, so I might as well just say it. Of course, I have on my list the other big match from the 2013 show, and that's, of course, John Cena and Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. This is right when the Yes Movement was really starting to get over. Bryan had just come off his great run with Kane as Team Hell No. Cena was, you know, champion, and, you know, they did the whole thing where Cena was allowed to pick his opponent, and he ended up picking Bryan. And they went through the, you know, the weeks where, you know, Vince was coming out saying that, you know, Bryan was not going to be a good champion. Right around here when the whole B-plus player started, and they went out and just for 27 minutes had a phenomenal match. You know, Cena kept up with, you know, Bryan step for step. Bryan was just absolutely at his best. Triple H was really good as the ref. And another huge shocker, Bryan winning clean and becoming champion. You know, just such a huge moment, and the pop he gets is fantastic. Of course, as we know, it will also, you know, set up what happened at the end of the night when, you know, Triple H turned on Bryan and Randy Orton cashed in his Money in the Bank to become champion. But for that one brief moment, that was like one of, you know, Bryan's highlight moments until a few months later at WrestleMania 30. So, and again, don't discount how great Cena is in the match, because he, like I said, goes step for step with Bryan, and just they just absolutely put on probably the greatest main event in SummerSlam history.
Yeah. Ben, your thoughts? It's on your list as well.
Yeah. I mean, for two matches from the same show to make this list is pretty unbelievable, I would say. I totally agree with Steve. It is, you know, the greatest main event in SummerSlam history. And when you basically consider Cena's, you know, got a, as they put it in commentary, he's got a baseball in his elbow at this point, so that can barely move. And that, it just shows you, you know, how good he was at that point, and, you know, how great Daniel Bryan always has been. I think you could make an argument as well that this is the beginning of the last real golden period of the WWE. You know, we haven't really had anything since the, you know, going into WrestleMania and all that. There's been nothing like that, but the match is fantastic. The crowd is so into it, and they deliver. That's the thing. You get these main events sometimes and they don't deliver it. And this one delivers in spade. Even the bit at the end, even the Randy Orton Triple H bit at the end, it doesn't take away from it, because it's absolutely fabulous.
All right, very good. All right, Ben, sticking with you, give us another entry on your list.
Let's go. You won't be surprised to hear I have got a match from SummerSlam 92 on my list, and you will not be, you'll be even less surprised to hear that it is the Intercontinental title match, the British Bulldog versus Bret Hart. Now, I don't know. I know how it aired over here. I don't know how it aired in America, but this was the main event of that show. Ignore everything Bret says about Davey, you know, blowing up like 2 seconds into the match. That part of it doesn't matter, because when you've got 80,000 people in the palm of your hand, you can do what you want. I mean, it goes into every big, you know, everybody says that Bret Hart's one of the greatest storytellers of all time. And this match shows that, because, you know, it starts off as this face-to-face, nicey-nicey match, and then he has to heal it up because he ain't getting cheered at Wembley Stadium. That ain't happening. And it's 25, 30 minutes of excellence from Bret, you know, pun intended. You know, and I'll say it, Davey carries his end of it, and you've got to have two willing participants to make a great match, and this was it. And like I say, that crowd carried them through as well, and yeah, it's one of my personal favorites. It always will be. You know, the reasons are pretty obvious, but it's got to be on there for me.
Yeah, it was the main event, I believe, here. Steve, you had as well.
Yeah, just again, everything Ben said, you know, really great story. That, you know, the whole thing where, you know, Diana was in the middle, and, you know, she was gonna side with either her brother or her husband. And you know, it's funny, I kind of take what Ben said. If you watch the match not realizing, you know, not having known what, you know, Bret has said about the fact that Bulldog was like blown up 30 seconds into the match, you would never have believed it, because for that 26 minutes, Bulldog is, you know, right there step for step, but with Bret, you know, going the whole distance with them. And again, now, of course, you could say that's just, you know, again, to the greatness of Bret Hart as a carrier, but, you know, Bulldog holds up his end. And like he said, the crowd was just so amazing for that, you know, that whole show, but particularly obviously for that match, because it's obviously their home countrymen. And the pop that Bulldog gets when he wins is just so great. And it's just such a, this was definitely his, probably the biggest moment he would ever have in his career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it showed the company that Bret was the guy that could be the top guy. Hence, you know, 2 months later, he becomes the world champion. So, yeah, just one of the greatest matches in SummerSlam history.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I remember, you know, I didn't make a list, but it would have made mine, no questions about it. You know, you watch the Bret bio that aired recently, and they do a lot on this and how special it was to the family, how big a moment it was for Davey. You know, the fact that the Intercontinental title match is the main event, you know, is pretty amazing. All right, so that rounded out Steve's list. Ben, you have one more before we get to honorable mentions.
God, we have sped through this, Andy. Good God.
Well, there's only two of you, so.
Yeah. me and Steve are like proper in sync. I don't know if we're going to disagree on this one or not. I have picked from, well, no, Steve's made his place, I think we've already said that. So I have picked from SummerSlam 2000, the first TLC match between the Dudley Boys, Hardy Boys, and Edge and Christian. We've mentioned already on this show already about guys wanting to go out there and stealing a show and making themselves. And that is what these six go out there and do. They had the ladder match at No Mercy the Usual. They had the table match at the Royal Rumble. They had the triangle ladder match, as they called it, at WrestleMania. But this was taking things up that extra notch. And It's just brilliant. We watched it for Special Relations with Logan, and you watch it again, and it's pretty nuanced for a so-called hardcore match. That, you know, you do think at one stage that the North Carolinian boys are going to do it in front of their home fans, but, you know, they don't. They take the booking away from them. You know, Edge and Christian win it, and that, you know, the Swanton off the ladder is superb. You know, Bubba taking the table dive is brilliant, and you know, it's just like, you just wonder how these guys managed to even have the length of career they had after when they're taking bumps like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a little shocking to see Edge and Christian win that, because I don't think they were, you know, everybody thought it was going to be the Hardys, and I think the Dudleys after that. Edge and Christian were like, you know, the team that people, you know, they haven't been together the longest, and, you know, people weren't, I think it was unexpected, you know, not that they didn't deserve it and they weren't great, but I think, you know, I'm trying to remember my crappy wrestling memory. Seems to remember that. Steve, any thoughts on this match?
Yeah, it barely missed it for me. I think there's like one match in my honorable mentions that I probably would have knocked off for this match. But yeah, it's like after the triangle ladder match they had at WrestleMania, you wonder is how much higher could these guys set the bar? And they decide they're gonna go out. It's like, and I decide to do this. And I love how each team had like their own weapon of choice. Like the Dudleys obviously have the tables, and the Hardys have become synonymous with the ladders. And of course, Edge and Christian, that was around the time when they started using the chairs for their concerto. So it's like, well, just throw all three weapons in there, throw the three teams in there, and let's see what they can do. And they just absolutely went out and really put on a great match. And I think tops the triangle ladder match. And then as we know, they would take this and then build on that to the TLC 2 at WrestleMania 17, when we talked about that earlier in the year for our WrestleMania matches. So yeah, fantastic match, fantastic pick there, Ben.
All right, so before we go to break, let's do honorable mentions. Steve, any honorable mentions you want to give us?
Yeah, I have actually quite a decent amount because there's so many. I actually have the only other show that I had multiple matches on was not just 2013, but also 2002. And I think you probably know where I'm going with that. First is the match I had originally had on my top four, but knocked off for Cena and AJ, and that's Shawn Michaels and Triple H in the unsanctioned street fight. Really great match. It's just so amazing to see Shawn, having been gone for 4.5 years, and come back and just have the type of match he had with Triple H is just so incredible. And I also had from that show The Rock and Brock Lesnar for the Undisputed title. Really, really fun, like 16-minute sprint. And just, that was, when Brock was really getting hot, and Rock, gets booed out of the building there in Nassau, and he ends up, he puts Brock over strong and just put on, and they just had a really, really great match. Should I keep going, or
we'll bounce back and forth. Ben, give us one or two of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, I'll just quickly say that Triple H show was my number five. That was one that got bumped right at the last minute. I got AJ versus Cena on my honorable mention as well. I'll mention the other one I'll mention for now before I hand it back over to Steve is Steve Austin and Kurt Angle from 2001. We kind of forget, amongst all the invasion bullshit, that there was this great storyline going on with Kurt and his great character with Austin. Just a tremendous, tremendous physical matchup. And the only reason I think it probably doesn't make my list or get fully remembered by people is the fact that it's a DQ bullshit ending at the end. I think, if that doesn't happen, this is a lot more fondly remembered than what it is already.
Yeah. Steve, you had it as one of your honorable mentions too.
Yeah, again, fantastic match. And, that was when Austin was really getting hot as a heel, and Kurt was, was just on fire, and they just went out and again just annihilated each other. And I think if they had a better ending, I think it could have easily made my top four. I get why they didn't have Kurt win, because they wanted to do it the next month in his hometown, but yeah, just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve, give us a couple more of your honorable mentions.
All right, two other ones I'll mention here. First is from 1989, Rick Rude and the Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental title. They had their really solid match at Mania, where Rude won the title thanks to Bobby, and Warrior had spent the whole spring and summer chasing him. And Rude wanted to do everything he could to keep Warrior at bay, including having Andre attack him. And they went out and just had a really, really, really great match. We've always been said, when the light shined brightest, Warrior was at his peak, was at his best. And Rude was so good at this point. They just went out and had a really fun match. Piper gets involved, helps Warrior win. Just such great stuff. And then another match here I'll mention from 1998, one of my favorite shows of all time. And that's, of course, Steve Austin and The Undertaker for the WWF title. The Highway to Hell. I remember I was just so locked in as a fan during that whole spring and summer. And that may have been probably the greatest built match in the history of SummerSlam. And they went out and had a really great match. I know Austin got KO'd early on, but I think he recovered well enough. And they just went out and really I think, delivered on all the hype, and Austin got the clean win and just, you know, set up for what was going to be a pretty intense fall. So those are two other ones that I had.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ben, you got a couple more.
Last few from me. First of all, we'll go back to 1991 and the Intercontinental title match between Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect. The fact that Kurt Hennig was able to have that match where I'm basically, you know, his back's broken in half at that point. It's just testament to him. And like we said earlier on, we were talking about Bret, you know, what a great storyteller he is. Just absolutely fantastic. I'll also mention Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title for SummerSlam in 95. Some people argue that that's a better match than their original ladder match. I go both ways on that, but I can see why people make that argument, but it's absolutely fantastic. And my final one I'll mention is the greatest squash match in the history of wrestling, which is Brock Lesnar versus John Cena from SummerSlam of 2014. Brock just killed him, and it was fabulous to watch. It was just brilliant.
It was fun. All right, Steve, finish up your honorable mentions.
I also had Bret and Perfect from 91, and I agree. I echo with Ben's sentiments there. And then the last one I have, this is going to be way outside the box. And like I said, if I was, you know, I probably would have had the TLC match on here, but this is more just a really personal favorite of mine. And that's from 1999, Test and Shane McMahon in the Greenwich Street Fight. I know it's really out there, but I was really locked in at this time, and, you know, the storyline going in was really good with, you know, Tess and Stephanie getting together and Shane and the posse trying to, you know, beat Tess down anywhere he can. And these two just went out and had a really fun match. It's so good. You had the posse there in their awesome Hawaiian shirts, and they were like all, you know, bruised and busted up because Tess had assaulted them in the previous weeks, and easily, you know, Tess's greatest moment in the WWF. And in Shane's performance in there, I think because he would have bigger ones down the line, this one kind of gets forgotten about, but it was really a really good performance by him. And, you know, easily, like I said, Test's biggest win, and you thought he was going to be a star after this, and it just kind of, you know, things kind of faded out for him. But that's definitely one I thought deserved a little bit of mention on a show that kind of gets forgotten about. This is a match I think that also gets forgotten about for how good it is.
All right, very good. All right, so that's going to wrap up the first half where we're talking about SummerSlam matches. But when we come back, we will be talking about SummerSlam events, the whole card that, you know, we love for the most part from top to bottom with Steve Riddle and Ben Locke. I am Andy Atherton making Mount Rushmore Wrestling Edition. We'll be right back. PlayStation Wrestling Network. We are back talking about all things SummerSlam on the Wrestling Edition of Making Mount Rushmore with Steve Riddle and Ben Luck. I am your moderator, Andy Atherton. So we're going to talk about our Mount Rushmores, or their Mount Rushmores. I'm just here to pass the conversation along, and these guys are the experts about which four events are going to make their Mount Rushmores plus any honorable mentions. So Ben, we're going to start with you this time. What is the first SummerSlam event on your Mount Rushmore?
I always get very scared when somebody calls me an expert, Andy.
out of three of us here, I you two experts. How's that?
okay. But I will say that this first pick is probably the easiest one of the lot. I don't think we need much expert ability, because if you've got two matches from the same show appearing on the individual show Mount Rushmore, their individual matches Mount Rushmore, then that show's got to go on the Mount Rushmore. So my first pick is SummerSlam of 2013. We talked about those two massive matches at the beginning of, in the first part, but you know, there's also a couple of really good matches underneath. So you've got that Alberto Del Rio and Christian match for the World Heavyweight title. That's a great little 10-15 minute match. You know, you can watch that most of that all time. Don't sleep on that little Cody Rhodes Damian Sandow match either. I really like that. And you've got Bray Wyatt's debut all on the same show. But yeah, it's all about them top two matches, and they deliver in spades. And it's an easy pick for the first spot on my list.
Of course, it made Steve's list as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's no arguing that this is probably the, you know, one of the greatest SummerSlams of the last 10 years. Like we talked about, you know, Brian Cena's awesome, Lesnar Punk's awesome, and like, you know, Ben was running out of the card. Del Rio Christian's like a, you know, surprisingly great, you know, kind of hidden world title match that you don't think about. Cody and Sandow had a pretty solid match. The mixed tag is, you know, solid. Like I said, Bray Wyatt's debut against, you know, Kane. And funny, they couldn't, for some reason, could call it an Inferno match. They had to call it a Ring of Fire match, but, you know, regardless. And then you had Natalya and Brie Bella was kind of there, just there to have your Divas match on there. But and even RVD and Ambrose in the pre-show was pretty good, too. So, yeah, I mean, just for the, you know, considering this was during that run where they were doing, like SummerSlam was like based in Los Angeles for those few years. This was easily the best one of the bunch.
All right, very good. All right, Steve, give us another entry on your list.
All right, well, I'm going to go to the other show that is probably, you know, you could probably interchange with 2013 as the greatest SummerSlam of all time, and that's of course 2002. I had already mentioned two of the matches on when I was doing the honorable mentions of the matches, you know, Brock Rock and Shawn Triple H, but some really great stuff on there too on the undercard. Kurt and Ray, the opener was a really fun sprint. Great debut there for Ray and a great match for Kurt. Edge and Eddie were in the midst of beginning their great feud through the fall, and they had a really fun match here. And another kind of forgotten match, RVD and Benoit for the IC title. I don't think it's talked about enough of how great that match is. And then you had some other solid stuff there, too. Flair and Jericho is good. Un-Americans against Booker T and Goldust. That was when Bookdust was at their peak as a team. And even Taker Test is a pretty fun little big man match. So throw in the Red Hot Nassau Coliseum crowd, and you have arguably one of the greatest SummerSlams of all time.
Mm-hmm. It made Ben's list as well.
Yeah, it's an absolutely fantastic card. Like Steve says, don't sleep on that RVD Benoit match, because their styles just mesh together perfectly, because, you know, Benoit's the technical wizard and, you know, RVD's body can bend in places that we don't even have plates. Some of us don't even have places. But if you look at the card as a whole, all those matches on the show, you know, if we go for the whole star ratings thing, you know, you're probably talking Taker Test as your worst match, and that's around 2 stars. The show, and it just flies by as a show. It's like, you know, it's 2.75 hours, and it's just brilliant. Like, you know, you've got that Triple H versus, you know, Shawn match that we all love. The main event is absolutely brilliant, and Rock putting Brock over clean as a sheet, you know, it's surprising, it's shocking, but it's what the crowd wanted, so, you know, you got to go with that. And that main event, you know, is an introduction to the Rey Mysterio persona. Absolutely brilliant. Kurt, you know, you get to have Kurt in his candy stripes as well. What more do you need in life than that?
That's right. All right. Ben, we're back to you.
All right. I'll take us way, 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 way back to a time where, you know, we were all children and, you know, loving life. We're going back to 1989, SummerSlam of 1989, obviously. It's just, and the reason I picked it is, again, it's such an easy show to watch. It just flows brilliantly. Like that opening match, the Brainbusters and the Hart Foundation, it's tag team excellence. And you think, you know, you forget, you know, we watched it last year for Special Relations, and you forget that, like, say, this is 1989, this is, you know, over 30 years ago, and it still holds up beautifully today. you know, that the six man with the Martel Rougeau, Santana, Rocca six man, great match. Steve's already mentioned the singles match for the IC title. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And again, it's just the way the whole show flows. You've got like Tony and Jesse on commentary, who are just brilliant. They've got amazing chemistry together, and it's just one of those. It's genuinely one of those shows that I could just stick it on now and know that I'm going to be entertained for 3 hours, and that's pretty much what I want from a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm. Very good. It made Steve's list as well.
Yeah, definitely a phenomenal show. Like I already mentioned, I mentioned Warrior Root, and the openers, with the Brainbusters and the Hearts is great. Tito Rocker's Martel Rougeau six man is just really, really fun. Just such a fast paced match. Also that other six man, the Duggan and Demolition versus Andre and the Towers, is a fun little Haas match. There's a little kind of other small matches there. Dusty Honky Tonk is fine. Valentine Hercules and DiBiase Snuka are meh. And I think that the main event has gotten much, much better with age. Hogan, Beefcake, and Savage just do a tremendous job in there. And then Zeus does whatever he has to do in the match. And considering it's Tony and Jesse, I thought they did a really good job on commentary, especially with Jesse putting down Shivani's specifics. Like a lot of times during the whole show, it's like, oh, you could shoot someone at the on the outside as long as it's on the outside. You're even worse than Monsoon, Shivani. just fun stuff. Definitely the first great SummerSlam in history.
All right, Steve, finish off your list.
All right, we're going to go ahead a few years. This one is definitely one of my all-time favorite shows, and that is SummerSlam 1998. I already mentioned Austin and Taker, the great Highway to Hell. But, of course, this also had the classic Rock Triple H ladder match for the IC title that put both those guys on the map. You had a really solid X-Pac Jarrett match where Jarrett lost his hair. Began his kind of the next chapter of his career. Ken Shamrock and Owen Hart had a really good Lion's Den match. They're kind of the knockoff UFC match. Some other good stuff in there. D'Lo Val was fun. Was a solid match. You had Edge's debut as he and Sable beat Jacqueline and Mero in a decent handicap match. You really had the beginning of Mankind's run to the top as he gets destroyed by the Outlaws in the handicap match. And then, that fun Oddities Kai and Tai handicap match was solid enough. But, this was really when the Attitude Era was really hitting its stride. And this was definitely the peak of the year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surprise. Ben had as well. So you guys went 4-for-4 with matches. So Ben,
we were reading each other's mind, Andy. It was like some psychic shite going on here. I picked this. I'll be honest with you, this one for me is my personal pick. If I had to go one, I mean, Steve ran down the card beautifully, but for me, this was almost Ben's coming of age party. Like I was 17 at the time. I just discovered drinking, other medicinal purposes and, ladies as well. And I just remember this show, like our school and college holidays are in August. So this show, there was a whole load of us around somebody's house watching it. And it's just going back to that time in my life where, think pressure and things were a lot easier than they are today. And like Steve says, though, the card's great. You got that IC title match, a ladder match where both guys graduate up to the main event in that one match. And, that very rarely happens nowadays. That main event could have been something special had Austin not knocked himself out 5 minutes into it. There's a couple of really good undercard matches like the Lion's Den match, the head shaving match and the opener. But that, like I say, it's all about those memories of college and being a youngster. And I don't think I've ever been as hyped for a show as I was for this, just because of that AC/DC video beforehand.
Yes.
I think Steve mentioned it in the first part of the show. I don't think they've ever built apart from My Way, maybe, they've never built a match with a video up so well. as with the Highway to Hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember that. All right, Ben, why don't you give us some of your honorable mentions?
All right, I will go in order. I'm not going to cheat, Andy, because I had picked it, but I'm going to let you talk about 1991 because it's I know because you were there, but it's a great show. You know, it's one of those very rare shows where pretty much all the baby faces go over. And it's just, you know, it's highlighted by that Intercontinental title match. But you've got things like the Mountie and the Boss Man and all that shenanigans that goes on afterwards. You're going to put me in the slammer and all that. the $1 million title match, you know, shouldn't be sneezed at either. That's pretty damn good. And the main event's all right, considering, you know, you've got Adnan in there and Mustafa. You know, that's okay. But yeah, it's just one of those shows again that just flows along nicely, and that's pretty much what you want from a show. You can just stick it on today, and you'll know you'll have a good time with it.
Yeah. Justin and Scott were nice enough to have me on the Place to Be podcast when they went over that probably a few months ago. It was really fun revisiting that. I pulled my best Peter Winston impression, where I was looking up military ranks, and you know Sergeant Slaughter was the leader, yet he had the lowest rank. So kind of interesting. But I mean, the reason why, I mean, it was my first ever pay-per-view. I was just shy of turning 19. So I was similar to how Ben was at his show a few years later. I went to see, you know, one match, and that was the LOD and the Nasty Boys. I had heard so much about the Road Warriors. I had only seen them a little bit prior to them coming over to the WWF then. I didn't really get into WCW for a little while after that. So, you know, they were just like this larger than life mystique. They came in like these legends. These guys like were unbeatable. You know, they were the guys in WrestleFest that you had. They were the bosses. And they just beat the crap out of the Nasties. I mean, the Nasties were, you know, I never understood them having thusly served their purpose. But, you know, the rest of the night was a lot of fun. We had, you know, with the Boss Man and the Mountie, and that kind of was through the entire night. You know, the one time I think the heels won, which was, the Natural Disasters being the Bushwhackers. Virgil was a great moment, that Bret Perfect match. You know, that the match of everybody bloated with the Bulldog, except for the Dragon, the Texas Tornado beating Power and Glory and the Warlord. That was just like, you know, steroids and Steamboat. You could call that match. Yeah, it was a great show to be at, and fond memories. All right, Ben, carry on with your honorable mentions.
All right, I've got a couple more. I've got to pick 92 again. Not just like I said in the first part, not just because of that main event, but the whole atmosphere, the whole crowd. You know, apart from recent WrestleManias, you know, we're getting 80,000 people into a wrestling event, and the fact that, you know, they had Vince had the, you know, the balls to not only, you know, go abroad, but go to Wembley Stadium as well. And then, you know, being able to fill the stadium up. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't one of those papered crowds. It was a genuine 80,000. And, you know, it's you could say it's a one match card. I'd argue that, you know, I mean, that WWF title match between the Savage and the Warrior is pretty damn great as well. But it's one of those, it's much more the spectacle, much more the ambience of the show, you know, things like the whole thing, like, you know, the Taker coming down to the ring and the hearse, you know, and the Road Warriors with the, you know, doing the full bike entrance. And yeah, it just works so well. You know, 92 WWF in general just works well for me.
Mm-hmm. All right, you have any more cards, and then we'll let Steve go.
I've got one more, and it is a bit of a left field one, now, you know, but it's a card I do love, and it's 2008, and people might go, what happened in 2008? That was year with the Undertaker and Edge's Hell in the Cell match. That's pretty damn good, but even better for me is the Batista John Cena match. One of the best big power, big man matches I've watched in years, and one of the most underrated matches that there is out there. And you get things like, I mean, Triple H carrying Great Kelly to a 2.5-3-star match, where that kind of thing never happened and shouldn't happen, but it does here. And as well as that, yeah, you've got Glamorella's crowning moment when they win both titles, and who doesn't love a bit of Santino and Beth together? It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Steve, what are your honorable mentions?
All right, well, you guys took two of them already. I had 91 and 92 as well, so I won't belabor the points since you guys talked about them really well. So I had a couple more. First one I had was 2001. I know we mentioned briefly on Kurt and Austin, but the rest of the show is, you know, has some good stuff on there. Rock Booker T in the main event was pretty good. RVD and Jeff Hardy for the hardcore title in the ladder match is, you know, really fun. I think that's one, again, that doesn't get talked a lot about. You had Edge and Lance Storm as the opener was really good. Jericho Rhino was a pretty solid match. X-Pac Tajiri was solid. I mean, the worst match on that card was probably the Kane and Taker versus DDP and Canyon in the cage. But even that, you know, wasn't the worst thing in the world. So I think 01 overall is that was when the invasion was still, you know, kind of looked at with some revenance. So I think that was definitely worth mentioning. Another one that's another kind of personal favorite of mine, 1997. This was, again, really a hot period. Brett Taker's a really, you know, great match, although I think their best match was the next month at the One Night Only show, I think was definitely their best. Austin Owen, if you forget the fact that Austin, you know, nearly paralyzed himself thanks to that pile driver, that's a really good match. And it was, you know, building to probably a really hot finish until the end there. You know, Bulldog Shamrock was fine. It, you know, wasn't great. That was, you know, the whole thing where it was all about Bulldog having to eat a can of dog food, which was kind of meh. You had that really fun cage match to open the show with Mankind and Triple H, still one of the best of all time. That moment of Mankind coming off the cage with the elbow, still great. Goldust Pillman was fine. LOD Godwins was fine. And the Gang Wars 8-man was kind of meh, but just a really, really great show, and so much, you know, good stuff there. Another kind of modern era show I have that I don't think gets talked about enough is 2011. And I think this was coming off the heels of Money in the Bank. The show kind of got overlooked, but it's still pretty great. I mean, you had Punk and Cena had another fantastic match, not quite to their match the previous month, but it was still really damn good. Randy Orton and Christian, the No Holds Barred match was fantastic. Really, really great stuff. They had a really good, you had a good six man to open. Henry Sheamus was a decent little power match. Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan had a really good match. And of course, as you know, that was also the night that Kevin Nash kind of made a kind of bizarre appearance to take out Punk at the end there. But that was more to have Del Rio cash in his Money in the Bank and become champion. So, you know, that's what that is. And then the last one I had, maybe not the best show overall, but I think it just deserved to mention. And that's the first one, 1988. Obviously that's, you know, pretty much carried by the main event, the Mega Powers, Mega Bucks, which is a really fun match. You know, both teams are really good in the match. And of course you have the great moment there of Elizabeth ripping her skirt off during the match. And of course, can't forget about Jesse as the ref. And then of course you have the iconic moment where Warrior kills Honky Tonk Man at 31 seconds to win the Intercontinental title, which is fantastic. And, you know, there's some other decent stuff on there. Bulldogs with Joes is a pretty solid opener. Demolition Heart Foundation's good. Jake Hercules is fine. And, you know, the rest of the show is what it was. But for it being the first one, and obviously having it in the Garden was, you know, great too, because it kind of made you know that this was a really great show. So those were just some of the other ones I had on my honorable mentions.
All right, very good. Great job, guys. Lots of fun SummerSlam discussion tonight. But before we go, let's kind of see what you guys have, social media presence, other podcasts you can direct people to. Let's start with you, Steve. What do you got going on?
Well, of course, as most know, you and me do Pop Goes to Classics over on the PTV and Pop Experience along with Miranda Berthold. We are going through all of the Disney animated films. Most recently, we just did The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. That was a lot of fun. And the next one after that is another really good one. That's The Rescuers. So really hitting a very interesting stretch coming out of the 70s and going into the 80s. So I'm very excited about this little period we're doing. Other than that, you can usually find me over at placebnation.com. I have several regular articles over there. My Vintage Wall previewing, the box office report, and my entire catalog of the wonderful reviews of Disney and the wonderful list of Disney are starting to wrap up. I'll be finishing up my last list here, which is ranking all of the films. So if you're interested to see where your favorite films landed on, in my opinion, you can check those out. We have the Facebook page where lots of great stuff going on over there.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Ben, where could people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at BenL1981. Speaking of Miranda, me and her will be recording a new episode of Telling It Tea tomorrow, so that will be out pretty soon. And there's also a new edition of Popcorn Chicken Salad out there where me, Matt Souza, and Logan Crosland watch Eurotrip. If you've heard the Top Gun podcast, it's a bit calmer than that. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I wish I could have joined you. That Eurotrip is a guilty pleasure movie for me.
I will say that. I would say Logan picked well there. We'll just go there. Here on the Wrestling Feed, we had to do a repeat episode of Special Agents because sadly real life got in the way, so we weren't able to record a new one this month, but the repeat is of our live show that we did where we watched, I can't remember what date it's from, but it's the Raw where Austin hits McMahon with a stunner for the first time, and yeah, so that's the one that's out there right now. As well as, speaking of SummerSlams, and well, this isn't a good SummerSlam or a good SummerSlam match, we are going to be talking all things SummerSlam 2010 on the next edition of Wrestling's Chicken Salad, so wish me luck on that.
Mm-hmm. As for me, you can find me on all kinds of great shows here on the Wrestling Network. I have the Great Debate Wrestling Edition coming back soon, as well as Evolution. On the PlayStation Pop Experience, my primary home, I have lots of great shows. The most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational podcast, Pop Goes to Classics with Steve as well, Laugh in Theater, and my new live watch show, Blockbuster Rewatch. Don't forget, check me out as well on Stream Lounge. Go over there. You can find plenty of live watches that you can actually watch along with us while we talk. You can be there for the actual broadcast, or you can go back and watch it as an archive show. It's still a lot of fun either way, but if you are there while we're recording, you can interact with us in the chat room. So as of this recording, I have two up there. I have Pirates of the Caribbean, Curses of Black Pearl, that's with Miranda, as well as I have Iron Man, the first one from 2008, that's with Tim Capel. So look for me under Laugh in Theater and Blockbuster Rewatch over on Stream Lounge. So let's thank you to Ben Locke and Steve Rildo for talking about all things SummerSlam tonight. And I am Andy Atherton. We will see you in the next episode of Making Mount Rushmore Wrestling Edition. Take care, everybody.